last week, I ended my message with Jesus simply saying, "Follow me." Today, we will reflect on how we may answer this call as unique, beloved children of God, who God knows us by name because we are beloved. Remember, the place God calls you to is a place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. So about a week ago, I went to Verizon Wireless to get a new cell phone. And, you know, sometimes this takes a while. And I got talking to the store manager, just happened to be the person who helped me with this transaction. And as we were, you know, waiting for whatever to go through on the computer, I don't remember what, I said, "So, things seem to be going good here." He goes, "Yeah." He's like, "I really love my job." And he, as I said, he was a store manager, and he goes, "I pride myself, or we pride ourselves, on good service and meeting people's needs and making sure everyone has a pleasant experience here." And I said, "Oh, wow, that's really great." And he said, "Yeah, I believe that this is that I am serving people, that this is something that people need. People need cell phones these days. And if they don't work quite right, or if they isn't the right fit, it isn't serving them. And I want to serve people to the best of my ability so that their needs are met." And he said, "I love it." And I was personally struck that he thought of this not as a job where he gets a commission, but he thought of it as a deeply seated way of serving people. I was just blown away by this guy. He also said, "My job isn't just in sales. I'm also a counselor, a therapist, a tech guru," and he's named a few other things. He said, "People have come into me where their loved one's voicemail has been on their phone and the person has died, and they never wanted to lose that voicemail, and it was on me to help them figure out and get that voicemail preserved forever." I mean, this guy is taking his job, like, to heart, right? I was so incredibly blown away by him. And I felt like this is what the world needs, right? People who are about serving other people. I've also spoken with a cleaning lady who felt that her job was more than just going and mopping the floors. For her, it was about helping people, making other people's lives easier, better. Sometimes cleaning a house might be looked down upon. She did not at all look down upon herself at all. She felt like she was uplifting others by serving others, others who can't necessarily physically or because of time be able to clean their house. And of course, when you have a clean house, it makes you feel better about yourself. And she took this to heart. This is me serving others. Of course, today we have already talked about Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, and he also saw everything he did as service, seeking justice, he was beaten, he was put in jail, he was on and on. But he knew that it was his call to see God's justice be here on earth, and he did everything, including losing his life in the end, to reach that call or meet that call. Last week, I saw a new documentary that's coming out called We Cried Power. And in this, Reverend Dr. William Barber was interviewed, he does Moral Mondays. He has an email or a blog that is called Moral Mondays, and it comes out every Monday. He also is one of the national co-chairs of the Poor People's Campaign. And he was talking about his call. But what struck me is when they interviewed his son. His son was probably 16 years old. And his son said, "My dad is doing what people and God need for him to do. And if he isn't at home as much as I'd like, I know he's out there doing what's right and blessing God's children and working towards justice. He was like 15 or 16, and this is a sacrifice. His dad isn't home for days or weeks on end, but he sees the bigger picture of how we are called to serve God's people. And finally, I have a friend who's a painter, and she sees her painting and the words that go with, or the inspiration that go with her painting, as serving people, because she always has a positive affirmation included on, or it's named a positive affirmation. And so she has paintings that are something like, "You are enough. What the world needs now is love," things like that. And of course it's beautiful, and we love to look at paintings, but it's even deeper than that when we see those words attached to the beauty. And so she sees this as a way to serve God's people through beauty and positive affirmations. So I'd like to invite all of you to take out your bulletins and look for some white space, and get out a pencil or a pen. They're in the pews. And I'd like you to write, there's going to be a total of 6 things on this. I'd like you to consider 3 places in your life in which you experience fulfillment and flourishing. And I'd like you to write those 3 places down on your bulletin somewhere. In the margin, I know there's a little bit of space on there. Places that you experience fulfillment, where you feel gladness, where you feel maybe even at peace. So write those 3 places or things down. Now I invite you to consider 3 places in your life where you experience, notice, feel the world's deep hunger. What do God's people need? What are some needs that you are seeing? And write those down in a different spot on your bulletin. So the second part is, write 3 places in your life where you experience, notice, what the world needs. So I have some puzzle pieces up on the screen for a reason. These 6 things that you might need to pray about, you might know it right away, but you might need to go home and think about this some more, and that's okay. But I challenge you, yeah. 3 things each, yeah. 3 things where you experience fulfillment, and 3 things where you see what the world needs, or what people need. All right. Yep. So these 6 things somehow may fit together like puzzle pieces. There might be a way in which you find fulfillment that coexists to serve people in need, or the world in need. It might be grander than one person or group of people. It might be, I'm thinking of Peter up there, Peter Swords. We might be thinking about systematic things that need to be changed. So that's what I would probably put down, something about systems. And I'd love for you to think about these six things and how they might interlock in some way. Maybe not all six, but, you know, two or three in a cluster, and ways that in your next setting, in your next life, I should say, you may be able to do. Within our life, we have many lives. I know I have lives. I know I have. So don't ever think that your task is complete here. It may be different or more low-key or maybe even more intense in different stages of our life. There is always something we can be doing as a follower, a Jesus follower, where our deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. It's okay not to have it all figured out to get started. Rachel Held Evans says this: faith isn't about having everything figured out ahead of time. Faith is about following the quiet voice of God without having everything figured out ahead of time. If we look back at our scripture, the soon-to-be disciples heard Jesus call and just followed him. They didn't have it all figured out. They didn't make a flow chart, a list of pros and cons. They didn't take a poll. They didn't even clean up their workspace. They just followed, trusting. The beauty is that we can follow Jesus or share our gifts within our days and our regular days and lives. This doesn't mean we literally have to drop everything and follow. In our context, saying something to someone we don't know well, who's going through a rough situation, like, "I'm praying for you," can be risking it all. This statement is most of the time met with a huge exhale and comfort and relief. But for me, I've also said this to someone I didn't know well, and they were angry with me, and it was a very negative reaction. So just saying something as simple as "I'm praying for you" might be risking it all in our lives. I wonder, how are we fitting the puzzle pieces of our gladness and the world or city's needs together to share God's love, to be creators of justice, to follow Jesus? Today we sang, "Lift every voice and sing." All voices are important to share, important to Jesus' call of love and justice. Jesus did not do this alone. He called others to journey with him. He needs every voice to speak of love and justice. We are not excused from the work. I'll leave you with a quote from Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. "Use me, God. Show me how to take who I am, who I want to be, and what I can do, and use it for a purpose greater than myself." Amen.